Father God, thank you for just so beautifully you speak through your Spirit and your people. Thank you, Father, that we just continue in this vein, Lord, as you speak to us as a people. Lord, we do hear. Thank you, Lord, that you give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, but with the grace to walk it out through your Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your anointing rests upon your daughter, Mariette, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that you will just speak through her, Lord, and continue to speak through her this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you so much, band. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Hello. Hi. Hallelujah. Sure. So much from our hearts. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just want to be 100% obedient to you because I'm just excited as the rest of your body in this morning just to hear your voice and your word. Thank you for speaking so clearly through the worship. Thank you for every word. Thank you for Dia's obedience, God, and what you did when she acted upon the unction of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we just bless this day and we declare this space is so blessed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are so here. We love hearing your voice. Thank you that you love speaking to us so much more than we know. Oh, thank you so much for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, guys. So, sure, I'm a bit overwhelmed and so thankful just for the Lord's presence this morning in the worship. And God, and thank you for sharing that testimony. I know it's out of your comfort zone, but for you, it's about the glory of God. So that's why you did it, and that's so beautiful. Just want to honor you. Tia, that was extremely profound. You were so struck by the presence of the Lord when you started doing that in obedience. And I was just reminded how oftentimes in Christian culture, Satan hates the voice of God. He hates when the prophetic step out and whether you're prophetic or apostolic, whoever, he hates it when we obey the Holy Spirit. So something I've noticed is he started mocking the things where prophetic things would happen. It's quite trendy in a lot of Christian circles to mock dancing with a tambourine, the things, mocking the things of the voice of God. Mocking the Lord. And we, Lord, we just want to just repent, God, on behalf of ourselves or our booties and our sissies, on purpose or by accident, the many times, Father, we mock when your Holy Spirit wanted to move. We partnered with Satan's mocking spirit that he sends just to diminish and squash the welcomeness of the Holy Spirit. We just repent of that. But Lord, I just honor you for how alive your voice is in this church. And I just say, thank you, God. May it multiply and just spill word to so many other people's hearts and congregations' hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, I just also want to honor Pietri and the worship team. It was so incredible how we were in the worship interceding for ourselves and for other people. For instance, here and there, we would stay on one place and we would sing it over and over. And I was so reminded. Pardon me if I speak quickly this morning. I just really want to share what's on our heart, what the Lord put on my heart. But it doesn't help you don't hear me because I rush too much. So Holy Spirit, you just really take the wheel of me sharing today. I just want what he wants for this morning. So I was reminded when we were singing that one piece over and over. A while back, a friend said, yes, okay, the details doesn't matter. I don't want to knock anybody because they are. Anyway, because the thing is, you guys, we are the body, hey? We are a cell. We big cell. Church is a cell. It's part of a function, a nose or a mouth or hands, part of the body. And who of you know that when parts of our own bodies attack, when something in my body attacks something else in my body, we call that sickness? Yeah. So when we attack other parts of God's body, it's Satan bringing division and sickness in the bride. When I went to the bathroom just now, God spoke to me about that. So I just encourage you and me just to go, Lord, even when I need to share something that's not that nice about another, like a body part, but I need to bring it across for something to happen in intercession or whatever it is, Lord, let me out of fear for your head, you, and for your body, speak from there. Because Satan divides and the Holy Spirit unites. And we can either partner with Satan and bring division in relationships, in the body, in our family, at work, wherever. Or we can partner with the Holy Spirit and be peacemakers. Because Matthew 5 says when we are peacemakers, we are called sons of God. We are walking in the inheritance of God. We are sons and daughters of God. So, as I was wanting to say that, somebody said, yes, the difference between some churches are they sing a song once and other churches, they just sing it off over and over. The charismatic people, they sing it over and over. And I didn't have the vocab to explain to my friend back then what was happening. And just this morning, I was just reminded like that how when the Holy Spirit impressed something on Pedri's heart that he wanted to let sink into our heart this morning, he said to him, not necessarily audible voice, otherwise we would have heard it also, but there was an unction in his heart to stay on a line. And basically through worship, we were meditating on a specific thing. And meditation is when you focus and you zone in on something very specific and cut all other things out. Godly meditation is when we focus and we zone in on what the Lord declares, on who God says we are, the world is what God speaks. So, it was so awesome how the Lord is speaking the whole time from you into this door, lovely people welcoming us, because God's heart is always to welcome people to the worship here, just speaking and singing in intercession for other people when we were praying for our brothers and sisters that need to come back. And then we went over to intercession for ourselves. We were meditating in the worship, letting it sink in the things that God wanted us to know. So I just quickly on that note, we were specifically in the worship interceding for people that have turned away from the Lord. So I just quickly, don't you want to ask, just search your heart, ask Holy Spirit if you can't think of somebody. Would you just think of one or two people that you've got a relationship with that you love, or maybe you just know them, that they were spirit-filled and baptized and they've walked away from the Lord, from serving him. We're quickly going to pray for them. 30 seconds. We're out loud. I'm going to start praying for my friend that came to our first when we sang that, one or two people can be more. Yeah, in Jesus' name, let's go. There's power in our words, so let's just speak it into the spirit and the natural realm. Yeah, we just speak to every brother and sister that is far, and we say, loose them, every deception, loose them. In Jesus' name, we just say they are loosed to run back to the Father. Because of God's goodness and kindness, repentance come. And we declare God's goodness and kindness over every booty and sissy that is far away. In Jesus' name, and God's people says, amen. Amen. So just quickly, before we continue with the rest of the word, I've just got a one sentence I need to share with you. It's basically apologetics for non-believing believers. What is a non-believing believer? It's somebody that says, I love Jesus, but they'll say that, and right after that, they'll start saying the opposite. For instance, they'll say, but I don't believe in his word. So that trend is increasing extremely fast. I've started to notice. So it's just really on my heart. So I just want to give you this one sentence that the Lord was sharing with me. And it's not so that we can judge and then say, oh, look at you missing it. So that we can judge. Judge is when you discern between right and left, people. Judgment. The world is so against judgment. If somebody says to you, all judgment is wrong, say to them, sure, immediately phone all of the prisons. All of those people need to go free. Who was that judge to judge them? And then you go, hashtag context. Context. Yes, because Satan is a liar. So we just need to speak the truth. We need to equip ourselves with the word. There's lots of resources around the word that we have in our churches. It's on the internet, Rabbi Zacharias. There's different people that you can Google that can help us, because where previously a lot of people in our spheres in South Africa was prone, if they didn't know the Lord, they wouldn't necessarily be atheists. They'd be more like tradition. Whatever my tradition says about Jesus is what I follow. My tradition about Jesus is about the word. That is starting to shift to a place of something in between, in New Age and intellectual, I decide. The word calls it lawlessness. Lawlessness is when you make your own rules and you say, I will not submit under another law, I create something else. That's lawlessness. So what I'm wanting to say is, if you say you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in his word, you are saying, I don't believe in the Jesus of the word. I'm just going to say it in Afrikaans also. As ek glo in Jesus, maar nie in sy woord nie, glo ek nie in die Jesus van die woord nie. So, because God's word is Jesus made manifest, you cannot separate the two. And right now with, not everywhere, but I see it quite often where people are starting, and it's people with influence that's advocating this overseas, but also here in America. No, the whole world is right now going, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but don't believe in scripture. That's offensive. They don't believe in the Jesus of the word, because Jesus is the word. Okay, so this is not to judge people. This is so we can discern what is right, what is wrong. And from that place, we can testify. We can reach out to people. We can pray for people. But if we cannot discern what is going on, the enemy will come knocking on the door and we'll be like, have a seat, coffee or tea. But we just need to discern. But God is good. He has grace for us, and he wants to show grace through us for those people. What is God's grace through you and me to people that don't know him? It's to pray for them. It's to love them. It's to serve them. It's to testify. Did you know serving people is outreach? Because if this is an atheist in front of me and he can't stand it when I speak to him about Jesus, it's okay. I'll just be Jesus to him. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. So I'll be like, okay, this colleague, this friend, this family member, this brother-in-law, whatever, what are his needs? Jesus, like, what? How can I serve him? Then you can think about ways, like, to serve that person. Because whether I make you coffee, or whether I realize there's an issue with your car and I can afford to, like, have it fixed, or I see your car's dirty and I'm like, oh, sis and sis's husband, I just felt on Saturday morning to wash your car. No, I didn't. I felt like sleeping in, but this is what I chose because I knew it was something, somewhere I could be Jesus to you, because when we serve people, we minister to them. Anyway, many creative ways God wants to reach people through us, so that's very exciting. Don't listen to Satan that says the only way is if you tell them scripture, and if they don't believe it, then you're in trouble. Yes, if the Holy Spirit says be bold and share my word, because somebody's eternity, whether they're going to be roasted and tormented in hell forever, or loved by God forever, that's in the wake. Then be bold and obey him. But if that's not what the Holy Spirit is saying, if Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, you say you've got a heart for them, the last time you prayed for them was 6 months ago. Oh, okay, thanks for the reminder, Lord. I repent. No need for a pity party. Just repent and go on. Say, Lord, I want to pray for these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you, Father, for every person that you want to reach through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's a question. You're in a difficult situation. It can be a difficult week, a specific difficult relationship, a difficult situation with regards to work. It can be a difficult season. Many things can be coming, just not working out over and over. What do you do? I'm just quickly going to share on that. So there's a few things. Firstly, we can start to pray. We can ask Holy Spirit, what's going on? Why is this tough the whole time? I've tried being nice. I've tried saying sorry. I've tried, like, what's going on? And he can lead us. And he will lead us. If we look at John 16, verse 13, it says, the lion, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, this is not from God, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So every time we're in a difficult situation, we can go, Lord, is worship the key in this situation? You know, am I just going to praise you and praise you till it changes? Paul, Silas, in prison, praising God because he's worthy, not because they thought it's going to open a door. Maybe they knew. Maybe they got a word of knowledge. But my guess is they were just worshiping him because they knew him and he was so worthy of their worship. But through that worship, that prison door opened up. So, Lord, is worship the key? We obviously always try, whether it's up or downhill, to worship God. But in a sticky situation, we're like, God, what's the key? Is it just keep on worshiping you? Lord, is it a fast? Do you want me to fast? In the word, Jesus says to them, okay, some of these things are only going to leave, like people get deliverance. Things are going to shift in the spirit, not just by praying, some of it by fasting. So we're like, Lord, do I fast for the situation? Sometimes something is sticky because I've forgiven them in the situation, but I haven't gone to repent to them in the way Holy Spirit wanted me to. Maybe I'm still supposed to wash their feet. But God, do you not see what they did? And I'm still waiting for them to say sorry. And God is like, that's great. We were talking about you. Okay. Because that was my reaction when the Holy Spirit said to me, go wash those people's feet. I was like, oh, that's nice. Thank you for exposing that in my heart. You know, sometimes something is sticky because you still must go forgive them. Sometimes something is a difficult situation because of a bloodline curse or something in the spirit that's not right, and you just need to pray about it and go, Holy Spirit, show me what to pray. If you struggle, look at this. It's a body. You're not on your own. You've never been on your own. If you listen to the enemy, you will isolate yourself and be on your own and struggle, but that's not God's heart. Yes, we have desert seasons, but even there, God will come and give you water and sustenance in between. So grab somebody's hand and say, hey, friend, I know it looks like you hear the Lord's voice. You need to pray with me because I don't understand these things maybe yet, but it just feels like stuff is wrong because stuff is wrong in the spirit. And it's not going to change in the natural until I take it on in the spirit. Will you pray with me till that shift comes? And then from there, you know, we can go forward. So there's different things we can do in difficult situations. And the Holy Spirit knows what and when. There's not this one set menu. We always just go to the helper that knows all things and that knows what's coming. He's going to show you. Okay? So this was just a backup. Foundational. My real point. Because the kingdom is coming and this is such an opportunity. The Lord is here. So I just want to share with you everything that is burning in my heart. So let's check this out. Okay. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes the difficult situation we are in is not the challenge. Whether my perspective of the situation is godly or not, more often than not, that is the challenge. Sometimes my difficult situation is not the challenge. It's difficult. I'm not saying it's not difficult. But more often than not, my perspective, whether it's in line with the truth or not, is the challenge. My perspective of the situation. So, make it practical. I'm swimming in the ocean. Let's say I was more sporty. I was surfing in the ocean here. And there's like this hectic tide that comes. It takes me in. I lose my board. And I get a hectic cramp. I start sinking. Now, I'm a bit far from the land. There are people, but they can't hear me from where I am. And I'm really struggling. The tide is starting to pull me down. I've got a cramp. Getting really tired. I'm struggling. The next moment, along floats a life jacket and attached to it a little rescue whistle that is extreme high pitch that they are trained, the lifeguards, to hear that specific note. Hey, got dogs sitting there, they go, and then the lifeguard is like, there's somebody that needs it. But as it drifts towards me, because I've drank so much salt water and the sun is shining, so now I'm dehydrated, I'm getting confused, and fear grips hold of me because obviously Satan's going to attack his gambit when we are vulnerable. And throw in the fear. So now I'm vulnerable. I'm I'm fearful, which often happens in difficult situations, vulnerability, then the fear. And out of that place, what I see is it's something coming to get me. Maybe it's a shark. Maybe it's a dangerous animal from the sea. So it comes quite close, and I just swim away. I try to swim away while gulping and praying in my heart. What was the real challenge in that situation? Deception. Just not seeing it. Just not looking at the situation from a godly perspective, from a perspective of truth. I didn't know the truth. I didn't know this was not against me. This was God coming to reach out towards me. So let's say I'm swimming. Here comes the life jacket, and I can see it's a life jacket. I'm thinking it is as the tide brings it closer. And this crazy seagull is going crazy, flapping its wings just above me and like screaming, like hectic. And so the whole time I'm looking up towards this thing because I'm so freaked out and this is so weird. I'm trying to figure out. And here comes the life jacket floating past. What was the real challenge in that situation? Distraction. So guys, in our challenging times, we are vulnerable, we are overwhelmed, and Satan will come with deception and distraction so that we will not receive the freedom that God has already on the cross provided for that situation, whether it's relationally, financially, something for church, like the body, whatever. And the thing is, it's not hectic. There's not, and then the enemy is like, yes, this hectic battle, and who's with you? Yeah, you're on your own, hey? Who's going to help you? This is so hectic. What? He has to do those lies because he has nothing else. He can only lie and deceive because he's been overcome at the cross of Calvary. He's been overcome. So now he's father of lies, and he like accuses so we can be heavy and listen to the lies more. He's an accuser and a liar, but he can't do anything else. But the challenge is not that we need to try harder. The challenge is for us every time when we are overwhelmed, when we are vulnerable, to go, Holy Spirit, the one that knows everything, that wants to guide me in this situation, that knows all things, that knows how this relationship, this business deal, this church, this intercession, this sickness, whatever, how it's going to end up. What do you say? Here I am, God. Here I am. I'm just going to press in and hear your voice because he wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He was just waiting for us. We weren't waiting for him. He was waiting for us. God wants to move in and through your life. God wants to and is moving in and through South Africa. We'll get to that in just a little while. But he's waiting for us. We are not waiting for God to get a heart for the people whom he sent his son to die for. We are not waiting for God to get a heart for the lost. For those people we were praying for earlier, God is waiting for us saying, will you partner with me and drive to their house and go and love on them? Will you partner with me and pick up your phone and send that WhatsApp saying, thinking of you? The person who's listening to the lies of Satan saying, see, you're not in church. Do you hear from them? So rejected. So hypocritical. Hey, you're not hearing from them. And you can just be like, oh, Holy Spirit, it's placing this dude in my heart. Yes, I haven't spoken to this friend in a while. I know he's not like where he was. I'll just love on him. What are my options? Prayer and love. And an action if God says speak to or drive. Oh, another country. It's all WhatsApps along. Hey, friend, thinking of you. Yes, you're so precious in the eyes of God. Just speaking truth to them. So, you guys, the whole time God has got this desire to give us perspective so that we can walk in the victory that is provided. But we need to go, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? God's never going to hit us over the head and say, now you listen to me. He will allow hectic circumstances so that in my brokenness I go, I can't do it anymore. And Holy Spirit's like, great, does that mean you're going to give me a chance? Because Matthew 5, I was sharing with some of your precious ladies last Monday. You're there was a highlight of my week last week when I was with your ladies' ministry on the Monday. Matthew 5 says, when you're at the end of your rope, you are blessed. Because then God can come in and do it. So I just want to encourage you today. If there are things that you're standing in faith for, or in this week when you bump into people, they are so overwhelmed and you've got no answers for them. You can't fix it for them. If you're like me, you want to look practically, how are we going to do this? But you can't do that. You can encourage them and say, you know why Jesus died for this situation? So that when you feel at the end of your rope, go read Matthew 5. It says you are so blessed by God because now God can step in. there's always hope and encouragement when we look to Jesus, even though it's not exactly as we wished or hoped or thought it would look like. There is always hope. God is always faithful. You guys, the Lord is faithful the whole time. But often, if I'm expecting a rubber duck to come and take me out of the ocean, that life jacket will come, I'll receive it, it'll be on, and I'll be like, I'm dealing with disappointment towards the Lord. And standing in faith and walking in obedience, this is not Mariette, I'm just like giving myself an example. This is great, I'm not even making this up as an example, like a testimony overcome by the testimonies. Yeah, but I'll just keep on walking in faithfulness because, you know what, I'm not going to give up. No, with the life jacket on. And the Lord was, hey, Marie, do you see this and this and this? That was my faithfulness. And I'm like, Lord, I've been listening to deception and distraction. I've been listening to the enemy. I repent. I give you glory for your faithfulness. And suddenly, dealing with my disappointment, it's fine, girl, just be honest, just be real. Just tell him how disappointed you are. Yeah, tell him so he can tell you, so he can speak back to you and go, thank you for sharing your heart, because God always has a desire to commune with us. That's why Jesus died, so we can have a relationship with him. And when we're honest with him about what's on our heart, he can answer back to us and go, yeah, thanks for sharing, Marie. Can I show you this? And I could repent and go, Lord, I repent just because your provision and your faithfulness was different than my expectation or what I thought or hoped, doesn't mean he was unfaithful. And God said, okay, cool, now share it. There are like other people also in bondage around this. It's a few months ago. I'm so glad he reminds me so I can share this with you now. Even the people of God, when Jesus came, the expectation, their hope, their thought of what this Messiah, the King of Kings, is going to sort out the people that were murdering them, slaughtering them, near to put them on poles and set them alight so people could see in the streets of Rome. So they were like, the King is coming. It's going to sort that man out. In my head, I'd be like, you martyring us like this. I wonder what my King will martyr you like to set it straight. So when he came, a lot of them, if their hearts were not humbled and submitted, they missed God. Not because of their this or that, not because you loved or not loved, just because of hearts. What is your and my heart's attitude in our life where Jesus pitches up? If I am in humility, I will be able to see that provision. When my heart grows a little hard and entitlement grows in my heart, but God, I prayed, I fasted, I'm faithful, I'm entitled to your faithfulness. When my heart grows hard, I can be deceived. But when we walk in humility, deception has no hold on you. Distraction has no hold on you because the humility the whole time is just being in awe and in fear of God. Humility is just a natural response. So if you are like me, you sometimes struggle with humility. Here's a key for you. Go on your knees and go, Lord, I struggle to fear you. Teach me and show me how to fear you. Because fearing God means I'm in awe of him. I am in awe of him. And from the place of being in awe of his holiness and his might and his sovereignty, thank you so much for the gentleman bringing the word. I was like showing to the thief, that's part of my word that he's bringing. Because there's only one Holy Spirit and one church he's building, whether it's this little part of the church or that little part. When we say, yes, God, I'm in awe, I fear you, a natural response is, I actually don't have all the answers. Let me quickly listen a little longer. That's just one way of being walking in humility. Okay, cool. So now I want to share this. Okay, listen to this, guys. So you've checked your attitude. You are thankful. You are walking in obedience. You are worshiping God. This is now a difficult situation, hey? We're in the difficult situation. I've checked my attitude. It's humble. I have fasted when Holy Spirit said, you need to fast. I've been praying when Holy Spirit says, leave what you're doing now. I know it's not convenient, but it's actually about the kingdom and not your convenience. Can I get an amen? Because the world keeps on preaching, if it makes you happy, do it. If somebody comes to you with that, you just say to them, okay, if what you're saying is true and you truly believe it, let me tell you this. What will make me happy now is to take your car. If you believe, truly believe what you just said, you will give me your car keys. Guys, it's just a simple way. We just need to speak the truth. We just need to speak the truth in love to people. When Satan lies to people, we can just speak the truth in love to them. We don't have to go, I rebuke you, because how can you? I'll just be like, I hear you. Like, I hear you, because it's respectful to hear people out and go, if that is what you believe, may I ask, can I have your husband? Can he pay just for my bills? I don't have to have him. Will he pay for everything? Because that would make me feel good and happy. And if it makes you feel good, it must be right. A Christian once told me, like, if it feels so right, it can't be wrong. I'm like, okay, cool. If I do something horrible to your family, it makes me, and it feels so right to me, can it be wrong? And he's like, yes. Okay, so you guys, the more we open up in dialogue and conversation with people, God can do something. But if I'm so threatened by Satan's lies, because Satan wants us to be intimidated by people that believe differently to us. Why? Because then I can't testify to you. I can't love you. I can't hear what you're saying and then speak to you. We must go, Lord, teach me how to engage without being listening to the lies of the enemy with people that are different than me. So, and also God wants to, this is God wants to help us in our humility and in awe and wonder of him. So he actually wants to use those people also sometimes to teach us something, to speak something to us, because we are humbled going, this was God. Lord, may I not miss you. Humble attitude, Satan has no hold on you. Okay, so now you've checked everything. You are praying, you are worshiping, everything, and nothing changes. The situation doesn't change. You have forgiven, you have rebuked, you have repented, you fasted. You've done all those things, and there's no change. And Satan goes, I told you God is unfaithful. Why do you keep on trusting? And you're like, no, you don't know my God. Go away in Jesus' name. It's going to happen. He's faithful. This is going to shift. I feel in my heart. He said, the shift is coming. I've been walking in faithfulness. I've checked my attitude. There's humility. There's not pride. I've been faithful. I've been fasting. 7, 8 people have, you know, shared their dreams saying, like, I know I'm on the right path. And it's not changing. And your heart is breaking because of this difficult situation. So a short while ago, for a few months, I'm not sure how many, I didn't count them because I'm an optimist. I kept on thinking, I'm surely it will shift now. My heart was broken and I was really struggling. That it's sleg gegaan met my. And I'm an extreme optimist. When I say it went bad with me, it's a wonderful direct translation. I pulled the money from the ATM, as I also sometimes say. It wasn't going well with me for a while. Yes, I was serving God. Yes, he was still my number one. But financially, friendships, family, where I was staying, and work was really difficult. Things kept on happening over and over and over again. But supernatural things where I knew, okay, something is up here. This is not normal, you know, to have best friends, you know, speak lies about you. It's not normal to, you know, lose in. Because in faith, I did a show. I do shows. That's part of my work. Because of obedience and by faith doing a show, losing 5 months of income through one evening where things kept on supernaturally not working out. So it was the one after the other. And then, you know, standing in faith for my husband and my family, something really sif happened with that also. But supernatural, it was like a complete setup from Satan. I was like crying for 3 days because it was a few months of really struggling and saying, God, I can't anymore. And then from there, it was a few months of going much lower than that. I was sitting at a friend's wedding. I couldn't get out of the car because it was day 3 of me crying and just bursting, the dam wall just bursting. And I needed to go into the wedding, but I couldn't because I couldn't get my makeup on because it would just keep on walking out and walking out and walking. And I'll put it back on and I'd be like, okay, my friend Esty is probably coming down the aisle. They show for Frontier Church and I can't get eyeliner on. And after a long while, okay, for the, like, I don't know how many of time, put it on, I go there, you know, during the worship, crying, and they're like, look at the Lord touching her, and then at the wedding, going to the bathroom, it just would run out, and my heart was happy. I was so happy to see my friends at that wedding I hadn't seen in a while, but in the inside, I was just broken, and I was raw, and I couldn't hold on anymore. So a while after that, like, things continued, and I just, in that time, I was like, I'm worshiping, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm doing everything you're saying, and it's not changing. Now self-pity goes, shame, look at you. Now enemies' lies come in, and then self-pity takes the hand of disappointment, oh, look, sure, so disappointed. You know, it takes the whole, a hold of fear going, this will never change. You know, so the lies of the enemy come and they take hands, little ones, but I allow each one. They knock, I open up. I say, pity is already here. You come in also. You know, fear, like, yes, there's fear of God not being faithful, but now there's like sort of getting random fears. Yes, fear of unfaithfulness is here, so you can take a seat next to him on the couch. I'm just inviting them in. Because we have freedom of choice. Satan cannot override our choice ever. God will not do it either. We get to choose who we partner with. So in this time, I'm vulnerable. I'll start partnering with the enemy. I partner all the more. The more the tear comes, the more I'm like, I'm just being honest. And I was just being honest with my bleh. And so at a stage, I'm like, God, I'm really confused. And that's what the gentleman also shared. He said, he said confusion was one of the things. And so then confusion comes in. Now you're struggling because you're like, I've done those things that I teach others, Lord, and it's not shifting. Like, I was like, something is wrong here. I'm really confused. But in that time, the one thing that I kept on saying, whether I was happy or excited about it or not, doesn't really matter. I just said, I will not choose you. You are my God. There's no other. I have no other point. There's no other reason for my existence than to know you and to obey you. I don't care what this is. I don't care what this is. I'm here to know you. You are my God. And at a stage in my confusion, I go like, Lord, what? And Holy Spirit says to me this. Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered. I had, at that point, I hadn't read that. That's a scripture. At that point, I hadn't read that scripture in years. I hadn't seen or heard it in years. Because it's not trendy to preach or to make memes or little pictures that we send on our phones about the privilege of the cost of following Jesus. As he spoke that to me, Hebrews 5 verse 8, King James Version says, though he were a son, though he was like the Son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. As the Holy Spirit spoke that into my heart, relief came over me, encouragement came over me, because one of the lies the enemy had told me the whole time in those few months was, you're not in line with God, that's why it's tough. Look, he's going to try everything. And especially when we're vulnerable, he's going to be like, maybe this is my gap to get them to walk away from the being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Because if it's this rough, obviously you must be missing God. Because when you follow God, everything goes well. No, there's not a scripture like that. Yes, we are blessed when we follow God, but we must learn, we must teach ourselves what's the biblical definition of blessed. Not the worldly one. So again, confusion. But it's fine, God. Confusion has been overcome at the cross, but we have a choice whether we believe what the world says, the world's definition of love. The world wants to redefine love the whole time. The world wants to redefine bless the whole time. The world wants to redefine marriage the whole time. The world wants to redefine whether life is worthy of anything or not. The world wants to redefine a little baby. No, it's not a baby. It's a little, I don't know what. The whole time it wants to redefine, and we need to stand on the word of God saying, this is what I believe. This is what I declare. This is what I speak. This is when I engage with people, and they go, no, but it's not really a baby. It's just a thing. We can say, okay, so when a little calf, a calfie, a cow is pregnant, is it a little calf in the tummy, or is it a little monkey? Is it a zebra? Is it a human? No, you call that like a little calf. Okay, so this is a little human inside here. It's just a truth. We just stand on the truth. We don't have to create something new. We must stand on the truth of God. So if we look at Hebrews 5:8, and it says that Jesus learned the obedience through the things which he suffered. I was like, Lord, it's not that I'm not in line with you. There's a place where I have the privilege to walk with you because you died for me, because you love me. And this is a side that God promises to us in his word. And I was so relieved, and I was like, Lord, it is not beneath me. If Jesus had to learn obedience through the things which he suffered, who am I to say I can't or do that not? And I was so relieved, and this really encouraged my heart. Let's look at other scriptures speaking about the same topic. John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And then it says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome this world. So God starts, he's like, I'm telling you these things. I'm preaching to you. I'm giving you good news. I'm equipping you. I'm telling you how I love you. I'm telling you the truth. And if you read what's happening up into John 16:33, and he says, I have said these things to you that you may have peace. The world's idea of peace is just a lot of finances and being far away from God. So again, guys, we need to ask ourselves, we need to ask Holy Spirit, you need to show me what I believe that's based on the word and what do I believe that's based on the world. And I think it's a biblical worldview because I'm a Christian and that's my worldview. I didn't have a biblical worldview until I did Bible school. I'm not saying you don't have until you. I'm just saying Mariette, when she was 20 or 21 or whatever that age I started, I was like, oh, all these things I thought differently. And I thought my point of view was Christian because I was a Christian and that was my point of view. But I can be a Christian and not have Jesus' point of view because I don't know his word that well yet. But when we ask Holy Spirit, the helper, the scripture we started, that will teach and guide us in all truth, he will show us what's in my heart he wants to renew that's not in line with the word. So such good news for us today. So God says, it's going to be tough times sometimes, but take heart, I've overcome it. So we can praise him in those tough times going, oh, you overcame this, not me, you overcame. And that's why I can now have peace. Not because the situation stopped being difficult, but because you overcame this, I can have peace. Oh, this is not the end. This is just something that's making me grow more into you. And that was my prayer this morning. So this difficult situation is the answer to prayer. You're so good. Just give you praise. Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, faith justifies us. We have, again, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoiced in hope of the glory of God. Okay. So that good news. We love hearing that. It's good. Our ears need to hear that we have peace because we've been justified by faith. That's good. But let's look at the other side of the coin also. Otherwise, we will be deceived. Verse 3 in the middle. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, Paul writes. From prison, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And this, who of you knows this race is not short? You don't get saved 2 days later, you know, you endure that 48 hours, be a good Christian, and ta-da, no. So if we do not have endurance, we will not see heaven. It's not about who, pew, the gun goes off, who starts running. God says if you finish the race, then. So guys, if we don't have sufferings, we can't be saved by the time, we won't be saved by the time that Jesus comes. I know this from my own life because oftentimes the thing that brought me more fire into my heart, be more urgent about Jesus, is because a tough time allowed me to see what was in my heart. And then because I saw it, it could come to the front and I could take that ashes and go, here, I don't want it, I repent from it. And God be like, great, I was waiting for you because I've got beauty in exchange for ashes for you. So tough times are a lot of times just God's grace bringing us to him. And in verse 4, and endurance produces character. And character produces, here it comes, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. No, no, no. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So you guys, tough times gets us to heaven. It gives us hope. If we look at it with a godly perspective. If our hearts are humble, if my heart is hard and there's a tough time, I will listen to Satan's lies and I will turn my back to Jesus because I'm disappointed because my heart is broken. A year or two ago when the season of like hectic more disappointment than before started, I gave a call to Nordine, Nordine and Max, some of you know them. Because this thing popped into my head. I was like, so Nordine had been, her and her husband, they've been in ministry for many years. So they've known and counseled many marriages, people, young, old. And I said, Nordine, do a lot of people backslide, turn away from God because of not dealing with disappointment in a godly way? She said, yes. I said, I believe you. because I was now at a verge where I was either going to go much closer to God or where hard and hard I could choose to go away. And I've not been at that point before, and that's why I got the revelation. But praise God, because of his love and his grace that pulls us towards him when you're in your chops and he can come and we are drawn towards him because of my heart, not because of my effort. Okay, cool. So now you're going through a hectic time and you realize, oh, the hectic time is going to produce character and endurance so I can actually be saved when Jesus comes. So this is giving me hope. Oh, yes. So in the hectic time, Paul is in the prison. He starts to worship. He goes, he worships. Hey, but Mariette, you just said sometimes even if you worship, it's not going to change the situation. Why do you mean you're going to go over to worship in a hectic time? If what I said wasn't enough, let's go to this. Why do we worship if it's not going to change something? We worship because he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our worship, all glory, adoration. We worship because he is Lord of my life. I worship him when it's going really awesome and I give him glory because I got something awesome and at work, and it means some people are going to experience like a testimony of giving glory to God. And I worship him when it's not going that well because he was still worthy. I didn't worship him because I got the role for a TV thing for the first time after 7 years of auditions the other day because he wasn't worthy of my worship because I got the role. That was just for me an opportunity to bring him extra glory. Not extra, all the glory is his. That was just an extra opportunity for me, for the unbelievers following me on social media, seeing, oh wait, she serves Jesus. She says, like, it's really cool to have a role for something for TV after seven years of auditions. Hello, rejection. And goodbye, Jesus paid for that thing. I get to choose who I partner with. I don't have to partner with rejection. Just putting it out there. That's just, God was good before I got the role. He was worthy of my worship before I got it. I just gave it to him then because it was an opportunity for me to reach unsaved people, potentially. Please use that video, Jesus. We worship him because he's worthy. So I worship him because he's worthy of all of my worship and all of my life. I get to choose that, and I will choose that. Yes, I failed in a lot of stuff for the last year or 18 months when the hectic, the disappointing situation would like be triggered. But I never stopped choosing Jesus, and that was enough. Thank you, Lord. So we worship him so that we can declare in that situation, God is God of my life, not disappointment. In that hectic situation, we worship him so that we can say, God is God of my life, not fear. Yes, I'm looking fear in the face, but I'm just saying, I don't choose you on the throne. I know you're here, but I choose Jesus. I'm looking at heartache. I'm looking at loss. I'm looking at suffering. I'm looking at loneliness. I'm looking at the fears. I'm looking at the fear of the future of South Africa that's knocking on my door the whole time. And I'm like, I can hear you knocking, but guess what? My room, my house, the only thing that's welcome here is the fear of the Lord. I fear God, so there's no place for you. I fear God, so there's no place for you. The whole time we worship God because it's our way of declaring who's on the throne of our life. When we declare that God is on the throne of my life, I can start walking in the victory of God on the throne of my life. So worship the whole time is a key to the victory that Jesus paid for us. The thing is, if I'm Lord over my own life, if Jesus is not Lord, if I'm my number one priority, if my future, my happiness, my dreams, my fears, if my things, if I'm Lord over my own life, the verse about suffering for Jesus, it will offend me. If Jesus is Lord over my life, the scripture about suffering for Jesus will bring such hope and relief. So the question today to you, and as much to you as it is to me, I'm just sharing the word, but it's for all of us. I'm also here in front of the Lord going, is Jesus Lord of my life? Because that's the actual question. Is he worthy of my life? Because that will determine how I will react and respond when it's going awesome. when it's going tough, when it's going medium. Is knowing Him my number one goal and dream in this life? A few years ago, I did flowers for weddings, and every now and again, people be like, I'm so proud of you. It's so cool. You're this entrepreneur, and you started this business like nothing. So you're following your dreams. I've got such respect for you. And I'd be like, thank you for the respect, but I just need to speak the truth. My dreams are not to do flowers and decor for weddings and functions. And they're like, then why are you doing it? I'm like, I love design and I need an income. Because we like acts, but we don't live like that yet. So, I have an income that I have to get, and I love design. I love working with people, so this is really cool. And they're like, now what is your dream and why don't you pursue that? I'm like, no, I am pursuing my dream. My dream is that people go to heaven instead of hell because of my life. It's my dream. I go, thank you for your kindness, but I just wanted to say this is something awesome that I get to do now. It's a vehicle for kingdom to come, because obviously I can pray for people that I wouldn't have been able to pray for because of that job. And now the Lord was like, okay, done with that, then students. And then it's like after students, the Lord was like, okay, now back into the industry, which means started with couch surfing and auditions in Joburg. Yes, in your 30s when people are like child number three and house number two, they're like, when you, I'm like, I look for work full time. And in between that, I do random jobs, anything for an income so I can look for work. Where do you stay this month over here? It was amazing because then in that, God could expose how much of my heart and identity was still not in Him. How much of my worth was still not in Him. But that's a sermon and test me for another time. And then Sinu Skimpik, no, I'm joking. It's just a joke. So what I'm just wanting to say is that God comes and His goodness allows us to be trained up for what He's called for us. Each season, you know, it looks differently, but God's goodness, the good and the bad times, it's equipping us for what He's calling us so that many will be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So my question is you on my heart, irrespective of the season I am in, irrespective of the vehicle, what it looks like now, is our number one dream to know Jesus and to follow Him and in some or other way point Him to Jesus? Evangelists point people to Jesus by saying, man, Jesus loves you. Do you know this? Oh, or not, He loves you. Share with them. After all, listen, if you want, I can pray with you. Would you like to give your life to Jesus? That's the evangelist pointing people to Jesus. The hospitable one pointing people to Jesus. You know what your calling is. You're at that door. You're at small group. You're at the workplace. And you're going, welcome, hi. Can I make you coffee, tea? What do you feel like? Oh, hectic night. Being interested. Why? Tanne. It's the teeth, eh? Yes, that's why you haven't. Okay. Okay, cool. 11 o'clock, you think to yourself, wait a minute, this is my opportunity. I can serve and minister to them that, because I saw they haven't come for coffee yet, that colleague. So you're like, hey, couldn't remember was two or three sugars. I put it next to it for you. That's you pointing people to Jesus, gift of hospitality. We've got different giftings. And the question is my dream of my heart to point people to Jesus because I know Him number one. Because from that place, We will go, and I'm going to end off with this. Holy Spirit, please help us go faster or stretch the time. Anybody give me an extra 5 minutes? I don't see any hands. 5, 15, 10, 25. Okay, amen. That's Siasa's joke. but it works. You know what they say about Cape Town weather? If you don't like it, wait 5 minutes. When somebody said that, I'm like, that's a joke, but that's the truth. I'll just say amen. Started with winter, Midi Serpi, and now we're autumn and now spring. Okay, let's go. So the question, I want to leave you and encourage you with this. When we say yes to God saying, you're worthy of my life, you're on the throne of my life, there's a freedom that comes with that because it's a surrendering of the self and the things that you thought you may better make it happen. At a certain age, your culture expects this and this and this. When we say that is not Lord of my life is to know Jesus, to obey Him, and in some or other way point people to Him. There's a freedom that comes with that, and I quickly want to share just a few testimonies of people that walk in that freedom to encourage you, and that we're going to end off. So let's look. Philippians, when Paul writes to them, he says in Philippians 2, verse 21. It's just basically for me to live as Christ and to die as a gain for me. So he's like, the reason I'm here is for Christ Jesus. Whether you high-five me or persecute me, I'm here for Christ. If you take my life, I will win more. So for me to live, winning for me is like if I can live for Christ. If because living for Christ and winning because of living for Christ offends you and you're in a country like in China where people are being persecuted, many other countries, if you take my life, it just means I win more. So that's a freedom. That's freedom. That's freedom. That's freedom. It's freedom, and God wants to bring it into our lives so that we can live for him fully. So let's look at Daniel 3, verse 16 to 49. Daniel 3. It says, I struggle with these names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom, so he said, listen, if you don't bow down to me, I will throw you into a fire. If you don't bow down to me and my gods, if you don't bow down to me and my gods, if you do not bow down to me, my gods, I'll throw you into a fire. They said, verse 17, it's cool. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But here's the point I'm wanting to make. And he will deliver us out of your hand. And here it comes. O king, they're so respectful because they fear God and not the king. So they don't have to be like, yeah, man, I can't believe a president. I can't believe that. Yeah, it doesn't help we partner with Satan with the causes of Christ. Let us choose our words wisely and our attitudes. And then it says, 18, you can throw us in. God will save us. But here's the point I want to make. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So what they're saying is, I will not bow down to anything other than Christ Jesus. You can have my life. God will save me. And then they go, but even if he doesn't save me, you can still throw me in. He is Lord of my life. He's worthy of my life. He's so worthy. He's worthy of my life. If I have to choose to give up my life to worship God versus save my life and not worship him, he's worthy of my life. So you might say, well, they're so bold, they're so this, they're so that. I believe they were free. They were so surrendered to Christ Jesus that for them to live was Christ and to die was gain. So the question is he worthy? The sermon's name is he worthy? And our Intellect Bible School answer is yes. That's good. That's good. We have to start there going yes with our mind. The question is my heart and my life. Does my heart and my life say, God, no matter what, you are worthy? I want to change Daniel 3, just hypothetically. I want to say Israel Folau, the Australian rugby player and the rugby player with another name that's in England, who are losing their jobs because they put scripture on social media, are saying whether God rescues them or not, God will vindicate them, but whether he does or not, they will not bow down to other gods. So we think Daniel happened long ago. This is on our doorstep. It's just going to be more. We need to start saying yes to God and the victory and freedom of him now so that when somebody comes and says, listen, unless you remove that from social media, we will take your job. We will take your job and your debit orders for your house and your family and your kids and wada-wada and the newborn, and fear comes and goes, yeah, rather just, you can love God, just take that off of social media because obviously then like you can still pay for your family because what's going to happen if there's no... You guys, we are living in that time. Israel Folau is an Australian rugby player that put a verse on his social media, and at the bottom he said, Jesus, like blah, 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 blah. He repeated the verse and he said, these condemnation things the word is saying, that's, that you're going to hell if you do these things. He named quite a few, didn't pick on anybody specific. And then at the bottom he said, but Jesus loves you, something like that, turn to Jesus. So out of love, he was quoting scripture. He lost a $4 million contract thing. They fired him and he's getting persecution from all over the world. people, rugby players from other countries that liked the post. The one guy got fired in England. That's where we are now, because they're like, you better bow down to our God, or we will cut you off financially. If we're able, we'll do something to you physically, but they're not able yet, that spirit, because of certain laws. So now they're like, we'll just start cutting you financially. So praise God, a lot of encouragement. People around the world going, Israel, we applaud you. You go, guy, what an ace did. People are encouraging. What I'm just trying to say is, you guys, this word is for us for now. Jesus is on the move in our nation. Jesus is on the move in our nation. The kingdomnation.co.za, it's like just one intercessor thing that's happening around the nation. One thing to give you hope and encouragement. But God is doing a lot of things. And I just want to end off with this, and it says, Isaiah 59, verse 19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. So from the west to the east, from all around, they will fear him. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Why am I quoting this scripture? You guys, a lot of people have started praying and fasting for our nation that I know of, that 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, people were not doing. But because Satan demonically, in the heavenly realms, demonic ways, has been like tearing a lot of people in this nation apart because the enemy came in like a flood, the bride of Christ started waking up in a different new way, saying yes to God. So now we're praying and fasting for the nation. Why? Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises the standard. So previously, guys, I was so nervous out of like believing the truth. I kept on saying, but God for the nation. When I read something really hectic, when somebody gave me information from behind the scenes of something happening in South Africa, I'd be like, Lord, I'm shaking my boots. This is so hectic. When I, like Christians, a lot of my friends, their prayers are around their husband and their car and their work. It's not about save us, Jesus. Like, I'm so nervous if I look at the heart of the bride. That makes me nervous. Not Satan, he's been overcome at the cross, really. If I believe the word. If I don't believe, well, that's a different topic. But I was like, Lord, I'm really struggling. And then suddenly God opened my eyes. He's like, listen, if there is no uphill, there can be no downhill. If Satan doesn't come in like a flood, the standard can't be raised. This is good news, you guys. If Satan didn't go, I hate Jesus, he keeps on raising people from the dead, telling them how to get to the Father. I know, I will kill him. Because of that enemy coming in like a flood, the standard of all standards was raised, and all man can get to Jesus. So every difficult situation in our life, no matter what, I don't care if it was 100th bloodline curse thing, and I don't care if it's a difficult situation because of my bad choices. Either way, my hope is this. The enemy comes in like a flood, but God raises the standard. God does a new thing. God comes to the rescue. So because the enemy is going crazy, that allowed character and hope in South Africa, and a lot of us has been started going, wait a minute, how about instead of just going to its time, which is awesome, praise God if you went, I went, what a privilege, but how about apart from that in our everyday lives going, Holy Spirit, do you call me to pray and fast for this nation? Because we've got different roles. Everybody doesn't have to do this thing or that thing, otherwise the body would not work. One giant nose or million little noses, very unattractive. But if everybody, if each little function of your body says yes to the Lord, we can jump over walls just like Google those people running and jumping, doing crazy things. We can do different things when this body functions together. And God says if there's unity, he will bless it, whether it's five people standing in unity or a whole nation. God says where there's unity and fearing my name and turning from your ears, I will hear from heaven. And God is busy hearing from heaven for our nation. So we can resist him or we can stand on the side and be busy, like my prayers are just around my car, my husband, my house, my dude. Nothing wrong with those prayers. Go for gold. But if that is where your prayers stop and start, I need you to ask you who's on the throne of your life. Who's the throne of my life? I'm asking all of us this. So now, God is on the move in this nation, and I'm seeing it in different ways. The other day, somebody says to me, yeah, they organized a women's meeting for their church, and they thought, okay, let's be prep. 30 to 40 women will probably come. 170 women pitched, a lot of them not in their church. The whole time, there's just different testimonies reaching me of God is on the move, and you can please stand, and Pietri, you can come to the front. I just want to pray for us because God is here and he says, I want to give you the freedom. I want to give you the victory. I want to lead you that, to that place. So if you are here today and if God was standing in front of you now, could you quickly close your eyes? I want you to see Jesus standing in front of you with a check in his hand, but it's blank. It's blank. The check is blank. The price that you will need to pay to follow him is not yet on the check. And he gives it to you and he says, do you trust me so much? Am I so Lord of your life that you will sign this check no matter what the price or cost will be that I will fill in later? I want you to see him standing in front of you, holding that check, saying, here's a check. Are you so surrendered to me that you will make a signature, no matter what and no matter when in the future I fill in what it will cost from you to follow me, that you say yes because you signed a blank check? If, quick, just search your heart. Ask yourself, what's the biggest things he could ask of me? And then ask yourself honestly, would I still follow him flat out all the days of my life if he said he would take that from me? Search our hearts, God, and just show us, God. We struggle to see sometimes, but Holy Spirit, you're so faithful. Thank you that you come and show us. If you are ready, if you go, I'm at that place, no matter what, I'll sign that check. I give God glory for what he has done in your life up until now. If you are not there yet, if you're like, God, to be honest, if I had to fill in this thing, my wife and kids, my this, my that, my health, my finances, whatever it is, like, if I'll be honest, like, I can't do it with a freedom in my heart. I'm not in that place yet. That is so fine. Then today, if you want, nobody's forcing nothing on you, you can say to him, Lord, I'm not there, and I've got a desire to grow to there. So I commit myself in your hands and I say, would you by your grace grow me to the place of freedom and surrenderance in you that I can fill in that blank check. So while our eyes are just closed, if you just want to facilitate this between us and God, if you're willing to give that blank check, you like ready to make that signature, would you just raise your hand to God as a sign for that? This is between you and the Lord. So just in your own words, just say to him, here I am, Lord. I'm signing it. I'm giving it. I'm just declaring you worthy of it all. Just speak to him. While those people are speaking to God, if you're here today and you just realize, like I realized the first time I got this opportunity, that my heart desires to be there, but it's not yet there. My heart would be torn in 1,000 pieces if God had to write this or that on the check. But you want to grow to there, and you just want to say to him today, here I am, grow me to that place. Would you just respond to God and just raise your hands to him, or in any way you want to just say, here I am, Lord. Grow me to that place. Anybody else that wants to say, thank you for those hands. Anybody else that wants to say, Lord, grow me to that place. Anybody else? Yeah, Jesus, with those people, I just pray for my own heart because I've done this in the past, but Lord, maybe other things have climbed into my heart again, and I know they have. So with them, I pray and I say, Jesus, grow us, grow me to that place, Lord, where no matter what, the check is signed by me because you are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You're worthy of my life. Thank you that it's a journey with you as you've set us free, as you open our eyes to trust you so that we come to a place of such freedom, because freedom is just because we saw you, because you saw you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to end off now with just one last song, but I just want to say, if you are here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, we'd love to pray with you to make that commitment to Him, to make that offering, surrendering to Him, saying, like, here I am, because His arms are always wide open for the ones that He made, and that's every human, because He made all humans. If you need prayer, like healing, sickness, emotionally, any challenge that you have, maybe you've got a friend that you're standing in faith for, that'd be so awesome if God could just heal them now while we pray for them here now. Any prayer that you need, somebody else that needs prayer, the facilitators, leaders can come to the front, and you, any needs, we'd love to pray with you. But while we're singing this song, there's something in your heart, there's things that God has been placing on your heart now. I just want you, while your worship team leads us softly in a worship song, just speak to God. He's here now. So do that business with Him. Share with Him your heart. And if you've got specific prayer, you're struggling to do that now, you just come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Amen.
Love is a name.
And if there's anybody here that has an illness or pain, or you've got a friend that's got an illness or pain in your svedelbeen, this is svedelbeen, your key bone, this area, your right over here, if you any sickness here, or you've got a friend, they tackled them incorrectly or whatever. You can also come to the front. We'd like to pray with you.
Breaks the chains. Jesus. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chains. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame.
Lord, we thank you that we can clothe ourselves with Christ as we go out today. Clothe us with Christ. Clothe us with Christ. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for the belt of truth that we've been blessed with today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this testimony. But clothe us. Clothe us with yourself as we go out. Thank you that you keep us. Thank you, Lord, that you bless Maria. You go before her. Go with her in your sovereign way. Just in your sovereign way, go with her. Bless her in your sovereign way. That's all. In Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anybody that needs prayer, please come forward. Please do come. Spend time with the Lord. Mariette will be praying with you guys. Otherwise, please grab some coffee. And have an awesome week. God bless you.